You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest in the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, so I've been waiting for this interview for quite some time now. So we have Tiffany Schlein on the line, and she's going to be launching a book with us in Women Connect for Good. Big shout out to Dr. Nancy for making that intro to Tiffany. And Tiffany is an artist, a filmmaker, and so much more. Today we're going to get into the book just a little bit, because we'll be bringing Tiffany back on the show later when the book is out and live. But Tiffany also has a ton of other projects and films and things she's working on. So the Teen Brain film, she's got a whole lot more. She's got an art show coming up in NYC, on and on. We're going to get into all this. But before we do, we'll start this episode the way that we start them all. First off, Tiffany, welcome. So happy to have you here.
I'm so happy to be here.
So Tiffany, we're going to start it with our Mission Matters Minute. So at Mission Matters, Tiffany, our aim is to amplify stories. We get them out for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Tiffany, what mission matters to you?
The mission that matters to me is telling stories and history in new ways. So I'm just finishing a film on the teen brain, and I'm taking very complicated neuroscience and making it accessible for teens and the adults that love them, parents and educators. Yeah. And one of the big artworks I've done recently is called Dendrofeminology, a Feminist History Tree Ring. And like the timelines you see at national parks, I have reimagined the timeline on a slice of tree to be about a feminist history tree ring. So both of those are examples. Like a lot of my films and work is telling stories in new ways or reimagining and highlighting histories you don't normally hear about. So women's histories, feminist histories in my work.
Yeah, it's amazing. And we're glad to have you here. And I want to get further into this work. But I guess just to get us kicked off, Tiffany, how, like, as an artist, a filmmaker, a lot of different directions you can choose for your career. You mentioned the theme a lot to support in supporting women topics, issues around feminism and helping and equality. Like, did you know, like, was this a progression? Had you always started here with your art and with your craft, or like how'd you get here?
That's such a great question. I mean, I think I always felt in my family, you know, both my father and mother were feminists. My mother went back to school to get her PhD in psychology when I was 8. So I really watched her, and she wrote about successful women and their female mentors for her dissertation. And then my father, who was a surgeon, he also wrote a lot about goddess culture. Like,
wow,
how come in every civilization in the world, goddesses were worshipped? And what was the single event that kept happening that changed the sex of God from a woman to a man? And he always thought women were almighty and powerful. And so I think from both of my parents, I really came from a place of strength. And then when you go out into the world, so if you grew up in a really feminist household where you can do anything, and the dynamics of society where that isn't the case. And so I think in a lot of my work, it felt like my responsibility to lift up the stories of women and fight for women's rights. And I think, you know, I've made a lot of films that deal with that. And now I'm making a lot of art dealing with that subject, sculptures. But I think all of my work is really, it usually comes from something I'm really interested in. Like, I'm curious myself, like being a woman in the world. I also have 2 daughters. So
yeah,
I have a husband who likes strong women. So I think just reframing that narrative through my work has been really important.
That's interesting to me. I mean, for many reasons, but even just your household dynamic growing up, for you to say your father, you know, he's a surgeon and a feminist. Like, I've heard some variations of having that, but normally they're not surgeons. Normally they're like, you know, I'm not picking anybody. My dad was a hippie, whatever. So he was very open-minded when but normally they're not surgeons. My dad wasn't a surgeon. I feel like that's pretty forward thinking or evolved. I don't even know what the word is there, but that's unique.
He was definitely an extraordinary person. And I think he had a strong mother. I think that lived up very much, but I think maybe it was having 2 daughters who are really strong. And I mean, I remember him telling me, and my sister as young girls at the time that we had an amazing power. Almost the way he talked about it, that it was more powerful, and know how to treat it with respect and to do good in the world. I feel like from an early age, and then, you know, he wrote these books about women in power. I told you about the book about the alphabet, the goddess and goddess culture, but he also wrote a book called Sex, Time, and Power, How Female Sexuality Shaped Human Evolution. So he wrote a lot about the brain and biology and power dynamics. So I think I've always been interested in that. And he passed away 15 years ago, but he had a strong influence. And then my mother, watching her, she was of the generation where really, I think a lot of women felt like they had to decide of being a mother or having a career.
For sure.
You know, went back to school. So I saw her, both of my parents loved what they did. So that was never a question, like, love what you do and be your own boss. That was another big message, that, because as a surgeon and a psychologist, they were their own bosses. So I that was all I, and both, the, all three of our, the kids, my brother and sister and I, we are all our own bosses. So it's really interesting on what they've instilled in me from a young age. Quite a big influence.
What about that, the entrepreneur, a lot of business owners, a lot of entrepreneurs that watch this program as well. Like, what about that slant towards entrepreneurship? I feel like that was also like unique, be your own boss. Mm-hmm. Like, is that is entrepreneurship really side in the family that was always condoned?
All of us are. I mean,
that must make for an interesting, like, whatever the holiday is, conversation. You have all these entrepreneurs, all these feminists getting together, like, to be a fly on your wall, like, and during whatever holiday you're celebrating is interesting.
It is interesting because I don't like use the entrepreneur label. I remember a woman recently invited me to this entrepreneur event. She's like, you're such an entrepreneur. Because, you know, I founded the Webby Awards in my 20s. And
I saw that. And I'm like, you may not like the word entrepreneur, whatever. I'm not saying you said that, but like, you are an entrepreneur.
It's funny. I just have never like used it as one of, I'd be like, I'm a filmmaker, I'm an artist, but I would never forefront entrepreneur because it's just a vehicle to do all these big projects I want to do. So when I ran the Webby Awards for, you know, 10 years, I was running a business, a lot of employees. And then I sold that to start a film studio. And now I haven't, you know, and I'm still making films and I'm also making a lot of art and doing a lot of art exhibits. And they're all businesses on some level. I mean, you have to, all big ideas take money and management and insurance, like proposals. But I think that's very much in my DNA. But I, you know, I've always, especially now and where I am in life, after I've done so many different kinds of projects, like from the Webby Awards to lots of films, to a book, to these art exhibits. And, you know, with Dr. Nancy, we had in the National Women's History Museum, we had my sculpture, Dendrofeminology, a Feminist History Tree Ring, installed on the National Mall this last November. And we did a lot of feminist activations around it, which was really exciting. And they're all, you know, kind of big ideas that I need to somehow make happen.
For sure.
And at this point in my life, I do go through a process of how do I make something happen? Because it's about visualizing the idea, bringing the support around you to make that idea happen, building a coalition of partners to make that happen. And then, and then you make it happen.
Yeah.
So even though they have different manifestations, whether it's a film in a movie theater, or it's a book you read, or it's a sculpture you see, like they all take these kind of processes to make it happen.
Yeah. So I want to take that a step forward. I like to work in kind of one of those pay it forward type questions whenever I can. So for the creatives out there, like that have these big dreams as well, but you know, like you said, you have to assemble a team, you have to figure out ways to make your idea a reality, whatever word we're using, entrepreneurship, whatever the word is, right? And like, what kind of advice would you give to, let's just say, the new group of creatives that aren't quite as established as you, they're just kind of getting started, they got these ideas, they want to do these things, and in today's marketplace, like, what would you tell them?
Sorry about that. I hope you might have heard my dog.
We're dog friendly. We're dog friendly, kid friendly, cats. I want to see, you can have some whiskers come across. It's okay.
So what I would say is that build support around you, that there's people in your life that are a little further along in a career path, and reach out to them, take them out, offer to take them out to lunch. Like, I think our society doesn't have the culture of like mentorship and apprentice, and but it's a beautiful model from a long time ago that we should really bring into the world today. But there's so many people that I wouldn't officially say like you're my mentor,
Yeah.
But they were. I mean, they I reached out to them. I asked them for advice, took them out to lunch, kept them posted on projects. And I think there's mentors all around us. I mean, older, younger, you know, even younger, if like with the social media these days, they can mentor.
Sure.
But I mean, I think it's just a way of looking at the world that everyone has something to teach someone else. You have something to teach someone and somebody else has something to teach you. So really looking in your life at like, what do you want to build on who you are and who can help you get there. And I'm really into, like, I'm in part of a women film director group and we meet once a month. And when I wanted to write my first book, I was in a writing group with just three of us. It was three total, but we turned in 10 pages a month. And
wow,
it's about that support. I think that's a big thing that especially entrepreneurs usually are thought of. Like, they're not really working by themselves, but a lot of times they're. And really having, even if you own your own business or you're an artist or a filmmaker, which can be very solitary, to either create your own support group, create your own filmmaker group or artist group and meet once a month. That's all it takes to say, let's meet once a month and share our wins and challenges. And you'd be surprised on how amazing that is.
Yeah. And I think sometimes what keeps people from doing that is like fear. Like they don't want to connect. They're thinking about, I don't know if I'm ready to like get my project out there. I don't know. But like when you're having these meetings and stuff, you're not supposed to have everything figured out. Like, I love that you bring up the concept of apprenticeship. When I think about like the formal apprenticeships way back in the day, if you wanted to, you know, make shoes, you're probably what, 5-7 year apprenticeship. You want to be a writer. You want to be this. We're talking 5-7 year apprenticeships just to be able to do something, versus now I feel like sometimes people have this unrealistic expectation on themselves because they, you know, because you can start something maybe quickly online or something else, but they feel like they're supposed to have it all figured out.
Yeah, you need to put in the work. And I think, you know, and one of the bummer, I mean, listen, there's been so many great things about the remote culture. I mean, as a working mom, it's amazing. I always ran my own business. So we always only went in twice a week. That was like my company. You could be home 3 days a week. We went in twice a week so we could work collaboratively. Yeah. But the thing I worry about is there's so many remote work situations. And, you know, I interned at film studios and I would just watch them. I was doing the most menial tasks, but I was watching them do their meetings and negotiate and talk about things. And I learned so much from just being there. And now there's so many people working remotely. The other piece of advice is like, if there's any way that you can, you know, work somewhere where you're physically watching other people do what you want to do in the world is so helpful. And that's not really a remote thing. Cause I think the most I learned was in the cracks in between and things in between the meetings and
the conversations in between meetings. It's all the other things. Like that's where the real, like that's where the real knowledge is transferred, in my opinion.
Yeah, completely.
So circling and thank you for that, because people hear me preach about it all day long, but now they hear you saying it. All right. So, so go connect with people. All right. So getting back to today's scheduled.
It's so simple and beautiful and human and it just really takes you, having the courage to say, I am going to write a book, or I am going to make a film, or I am going to do an art exhibit. Like, it does take that courage to make the first step. But even before you get to that, there's lots of mini steps you can do. I eventually I'm going to, I have so many thoughts on this. I've made a lot of films. I used to have an original series called The Future Starts Here. And I had an episode about the creative process, because first, just talking, just literally saying out loud you're about to do something, that's like, that puts a lot of energy towards doing
this. Oh, yeah. You know? So, for me, I always say, I'm on the hook for this. I said it publicly. Dang it.
Exactly.
That's like always a mixed bag for me. I'm usually regret whenever I've done that. So
holds you accountable. Like when I
know, but it's more work, Tiffany.
My first book that I wrote, my family and I, now almost 15 years, we turn off screens one day a week. And it's been this like life-saving. I just felt like the screens here. I founded the Webby Awards and I'm super interested in technology. And then it started taking over. So I started turning off screens one day a week and it helped so much. And then when I was nearing 10 years, I thought I need to write a book about this, because it's this very ancient idea and anyone can do it. And it's this ancient Jewish idea called Shabbat. And it's like yoga and meditation. Like everyone can do it. Just one day rest, no work. And so when I decided to write the book, I thought, well, publicly now everyone's going to know that my family, like I turn off my screens one day a week. So it's like this major accountability, which I think is good.
Yeah.
And, you know, even when I was going to, when I wanted to put the feminist history tree ring on the National Mall, you know, I'm just finishing this film on the teen brain, which it's a 10-minute film. And it's actually one of my favorite challenges is to take a really complicated scientific, like I made a lot of films about neuroscience and take that idea and make it accessible for the public. And it's so funny, like for the last year and a half when I was like, what are you working on? Or what film? And I talk about my art and I'm like, yeah, I'm making a film on the teen brain. And you, and this is kind of an audaciousness that, like, I make a film about the teen brain. And you say that like 400 times in a year. And it's like, you're almost, you're working on the film behind the scenes, but just saying it, you're just like,
you're
also helping to make it happen. So I'm a big proponent when people are like, hey, what are you up to? Like, try out an idea. Like even in small talk, it helps you get that courage of like, you're making that thing happen.
So Tiffany, I want to, so for everybody watching, so just to kind of tee up the book project, which we're not going to talk about that much today, as I mentioned before, but we're doing a book. It's a collaborative effort between Mission Matters, Women Connect for Good, an amazing group of authors that Dr. Nancy O'Reilly has curated and brought together. And I just want to, we're not going to get too far into the content or anything like that today, because Tiffany's coming back on the show, and that's the next interview I do with Tiffany. That's all we're going to talk about. But all I want to know, Tiffany, is are you excited?
Oh, I'm very excited about the book. I mean, it really is. Dr. Nancy has pulled together an amazing group of women, and a lot of us were in DC on the National Mall for my art project. So it is a strong community of
like a reunion all together.
It's amazing. I can't wait to read their chapters, and I loved working on mine. I love writing. It's very
amazing.
It helps you, I think, writing to have to go deeply on a subject. It's like helping you clarify your thoughts on the subject, and you have the time and the space to do it. And in our world, which is just flying by so quickly, you rarely get that kind of deep thinking time.
I wanna get kind of a little bit of an overview of what your year looks like coming up next. So I know you have an art show coming up.
I know you got so much going on.
I can't keep up with you. I'm like,
it's a busy year.
And I was like, and I know even since the last time we talked, probably new things popped up. Like tell me what's going on this year so far.
I was just meeting with someone yesterday because I'm working with
I already knew it. Go ahead.
I wanted to lay out. I've had years like this before. Like I've been a creator making things, you know, for like 30 years at this point, but this is going to be a big 7 months. Cause I have the teen brain film coming out in the next couple of weeks. And then I am going to just be creating art. I have all these new artworks that I'm going to be making. I have a solo exhibition in New York at Nancy Hoffman Gallery in Chelsea in New York that opens September 5th called Human Nature. And then I have a art exhibition in Los Angeles that opens October 17th called Ancient Wisdom for a Future Ecology. And my husband and I are both co-collaborators on that. He's a professor at UC Berkeley in robotics, and he's also an artist. And we are making new artwork for that. So we just went down to LA for a big museum walkthrough. And that's part of the Getty Museum has something, an initiative called Pacific Standard Time. And they bring together all these museums, and we're in the Skirball Museum, and we're doing an art exhibition there all about ancient wisdom for a future ecology, trees, time, and technology. So the film, two art shows, and it's all about really time management. It really comes down to that, because of course, creativity, you want to be wild and like have all this time, which I have, but you have to carve out that time. And now I have to carve out the time. I know all the ideas for each of the pieces, and now it's literally about making the artwork. And I love doing that. So, but there is a lot happening in the same time period. So I just have to be, first of all, always take my days off on the weekends, because no screens. And that's when I completely reset. I think we're living in a time where people don't ever turn off their phones.
Yeah.
So they don't ever recharge. So that's part of my whole time management strategy. Every weekend I go off and I rejuvenate, and then I'm really going to carve out time to be in the studio, to be really creative, and then really to make the work. So that's my plan for my very busy 7 months.
And you plan for the, so it sounds like you also plan for your creative times. Am I off on that? That's really cool. Like so what goes into that? Like what goes into that?
Wednesday is like no meetings.
Yeah.
So I go to my studio and I really try to have, there's no meetings and I am just
in no meetings, probably very limited phone calls, like anything else. Yeah. Like if you don't have to do something, then that's like, you want to wake up pretty like light, right?
Yeah. You have to create space.
Yeah.
To create and to think. And I do that a lot on my days without screens. Mm. Most of my best ideas come on those days. And I look at creativity like an athlete, like, yeah. Oh, when am I most creative? Without screens. So that day is such a great day for me. And I try to have other little pockets throughout my day to think.
Yeah.
Because I think we're living in a world that doesn't give us a lot of time to really process all the information we get.
Mm. Yeah, I think this concept of like disconnecting, which you've mentioned multiple times, it's an important one. And I try to do it at least one day a week. And you brought up Shabbat. I laugh at that.
This is my book that I called it 24/6 instead of 24/7 because tech Shabbat. It's like my saving grace, really.
Yeah. I think I remember the first time, like when I went to Israel and I was really, I kind of knew what it was. And I've been in LA, so I know, but I didn't know, but it's something else to be like in an elevator that stops on every floor to remind you. It's like it stopped on every single floor, like all the little nuances. And then I thought about it and I was like, wow. Like I was like, you know, obviously, well, I shouldn't say obviously, but I'm in media, so it makes sense for me to be in LA. But I'm like, wow, what if I lived in a world that was like that, to where it's like a reminder and a reset, like for families to be together, for people to spend time together, for community. Like it's a different way of life that much of that I prefer to what we're on right now.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's interesting because I don't do it for a religious reason. Like
yeah.
In Israel, there are many religious Jews, like, it is
a religion. Oh no, for sure.
And so I'm Jewish, but I was like, I have never needed more some kind of boundary of work and rest. And here's this ancient ritual of Shabbat that if you go to Israel, the whole country shuts down, no buses, no nothing. You're forced to stay still. And so my husband
the interesting part though is everything's still fine.
Totally.
Everything functions. So we have this conception that's been kind of, whether it's fed to us or we fell into habit, I don't know. I'm not going there, but we have this concept that if we disconnect, it's not going to be fine. But then you have a case study like Israel where when everything opens back up, guess what? Economy keeps going. Business still go, like nothing disappeared. It's okay.
It's really amazing to think about that. And so that's ultimately why I ended up writing my book, is I was like, wow, you know, I do yoga, I try to meditate, and here's this other ancient, beautiful idea that's withstood thousands of years, and it's available to anyone. So that's why I called it 24/6 instead of Shabbat, because I wanted to almost like remove the religion part and say, this is just a brilliant idea that can change your life. And as a creative person, it is literally the foundational moment of my week. When Friday night, we have people over for dinner, we have a beautiful conversation, beautiful meal. And then Saturday is just about me thinking and writing and like walking in nature. And then I'm excited to go back online every Saturday night. Like, what's happened? What's happened in the world? And I think, you know, lately I'm mostly hoping for peace. That's what I'm hoping happens when I come back on. But I've now done this ritual for 14 years straight. And it's changed my life. And I think I've been more productive. That's the irony, is that we think, oh, I have to be online. No, I'm more productive now when I've truly turned off and refreshed. Yeah. And
I don't think that's just because you're a creative. I think any field would benefit from that. Just throwing that out there. Like,
there's a lot of like business. The book, I wrote it for my own practice, but a lot of it's been listed as like a business book because it's about time management. And that word sounds so like cold in some level, but it's a strategy. It's like, how do I work smartly so I leave room for joy, creativity, and productivity, and really create some boundaries around all of those things. Because I think technology, I mean, obviously I've been thinking about technology a long time with founding the Webby Awards in my 20s. Mm-hmm. It's made everything so blurry. It's blurred every distinction. You could be mm-hmm. like working from anywhere. You can. But actually, I think some boundaries are good. Yeah. I think we need some boundaries back.
Yeah. I'll tell you one of the funny blurs. I had this conversation last night, and it was that a particular person named Greg, founder of Above the Rim Consulting. So good guy. I've been working with him as an author for now a couple years now. He's been on the show probably like two times, maybe three in the last 3 years, let's call it. So we've had, you know, probably 7 years of contact in our existence and know each other quite a bit of time, right? For somebody you haven't met. So yesterday we had this event in Orange County randomly, and I meet him in person, and there was a certain familiarity where I thought like, it's like we knew each other, but we didn't know. It was that blur that you're talking about.
Exactly.
It's like, it's like, that blur, even though that's the first time we've actually met, even though we spent hours together, and that blur, while in this case, I think it was a good thing because it was like we were familiar with each other, but in other ways and in other situations, that blur may not be appropriate. Like you, that blur could not totally be the best thing or concept for your psyche of giving you a connection to a person, let's say.
That's a great example of the blur.
It threw me off though, Tiffany. I'm not joking. Like, it messed with my receptors because I'm just like, we know. And then I'm like, Greg. And I'm like, and we know all this stuff about each other. The other funny blur, but that this was a two-way blur, I'll say, because I felt the same way. The other funny blur, which is in media in general, is when you meet somebody that's been maybe listening to your show for a long time. And, you know, I'm over 6,000 episodes in. So if you've been listening to me for the last 8 years, you know about my mom, you know about everything probably in my life.
They know you.
So yeah. Then you meet that person and you're talking about you.
Well, I have had a monthly newsletter for 25 years called.
Oh, my gosh. So then absolutely. You have the blur.
Writing like something personal, and then what I'm working on, and then I highlight lots
of
things. And I'll walk up to people and they'll say something like, I've been reading your newsletter for years. And it is, I mean, and it makes me think about what I mean. I don't share, I don't tell all. Like, I know some.
Sure.
I don't do that because, like, there's
boundaries. I don't get that from you, but, you know, 20 some years, who knows? That first couple years, I don't know. We evolve as people.
It's always a choice, but I think also. It was interesting. I just set up this woman and man, and which I love to do in my spare time is fix people up. And at first I was like going to send them each an online reference to them. And then I was like, no, I'm just going to have them meet. And so I didn't give them enough information so they could have looked each other up. But I was deliberate about that because it was a little, remember, like when I met my husband, we didn't know anything about each other, and it was really just our connection. Now you can do so much sleuthing before you meet someone, you know, it's
yeah. Different. Oh, that's good. I feel like that's your next show. That's short form content for show.
I'm not letting you look up anything on the first
one. No. I want your matchmaking hobby to be content. That's fun. Yeah. You're
my
like,
husband and I, we have like, well, one couple's recently breaking up.
I'm giving you work. Like, Adam, did you just not hear about my year? Well, let me just throw my little idea out there, Tiffany, for your creativity.
Well, it's such a pleasure. I introduced this couple like 7 months ago. They're madly in love. They came to this party at our house, and I was like, you two are my greatest work of art. I mean, like, you met, you're madly in love. Like, it makes me so happy, and I feel so fortunate. I know how lucky it was that I met my husband when I was 26, and the older I get, we've been together like 27 years.
Wow,
how rare that was. And you don't realize it when you're young and in love, and now I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so lucky. And so I feel like a responsibility, like if I can matchmake with my friends.
Matchmaking with Tiffany. Come on. There we go. That's you can come up with a better title, but this is a working title. So So Tiffany, when is Matchmaking with Tiffany coming out? I mean, it could be a short form series. It could be inquiring minds like myself. Okay. We got your first
thing. I usually hate that expression side hustle because it sounds like you're a hustler or a prostitute, but I could say my side hustle is matchmaking because I do it for love. I do it just because it makes me so happy. If we
for the love of matchmaking, I'm just still working on your title here. All right, so I have to ask Tiffany. Other than that, which is just my like, of course, not really what you're doing next. Like, what is next? What's next? Like, give me the vision. I know you got all the shows, everything else coming up. We got
a couple of big art projects that expand on the dendrofeminology. I'm working with tree rings to tell different stories. I'm working on, it's kind of under wraps now, but I'm so excited about thinking of these tree rings as new ways to tell stories. So I have a lot of ideas for that. And I'm loving working with my hands. You know, I've made films for a very long time, and now the physicality of working with my hands is very satisfying right now.
Amazing. Tiffany, if somebody wants to follow your work, you mentioned a newsletter, like how do people enter your world?
The best place to find everything is just tiffanyschlain.com, and there's no C in my last name, so just S-H-L-A-I-N.com. And I'm on, you know, Instagram and that, but really I think the best way to follow my work is my newsletter, because I'm not on all the time. And I just think a newsletter has a narrative, whereas the social media is like, it's just a slipstream. You don't know what you're seeing. So if you go to tiffanyschlain.com, you can sign up for my monthly newsletter called Breakfast at Tiffany's. And yeah, that's a way to stay in touch.
Amazing. And so, and for everybody watching, by the way, so we'll put that, all of that information in the show notes so that you can just click on the links, head right on over, sign up for Breakfast with Tiffany's, and stay in the loop on what's going on.
The new film's coming out soon. And all my films are on my site. I've made like 33 films. So they're all, most of them are shorts. I like working in short form. I just made one feature, but they're all kind of short films on big topics.
Yeah. Amazing. And speaking of the audience, if don't forget, hit the subscribe button. We got more interviews coming up for you. And we're going to be bringing Tiffany back on the show once the book's out. So you'll be looking forward to that interview as well. And Tiffany, I just want to say this has been so much fun to finally catch up, get to do this with you and get into the weeds and understand more about your process and your work. So thank you so much for coming.
Oh, it was a pleasure to talk to you. Have a great day. Bye, Adam.